All right, well, thank you to everybody who's in attendance. I'm George Morris, and I'll be moderating this. Ryan Standard is our senior analyst on fats and oils, and he's going to be going over the forecast for the week of October 26th. And I realize that a lot of you are new this week because you're doing the forecasting trial. If you have any questions during this, please go ahead and click on the Q&A section in the bottom. Drop your questions in there, and Ryan will get to them at the end of his forecast. With that, Ryan, do you want to go ahead and go over the fats and oils forecast for this week?
Yeah, let's roll. So we kind of went into depth on the poultry fat forecast this week, or that was the focus of our forecast is poultry fat prices. So we're projecting these to be higher in the near term and actually to close out the rest of the year. The reason for that is mainly overall tightness, particularly in those poultry heavy areas. Southeast, the East, Alabama, Georgia, Mid-South, those all seem, demand seems to be very strong for feed fat at the moment. And it seems to be tight, fat in general seems to be tight in those markets as well. So we're expecting higher prices to trend through the remainder of the year and then follow a seasonal pattern through 2021. If you scroll down a little bit, George, you can see the relative price to corn. Now, it all kind of bunches up there, October, November, particularly the 27, 18, 19, and 20. We're expecting this relative price to trend higher than those 18, 19 levels to close out the year and into next year. I think there's going to be an overall contraction of supply in the fat market. In addition, there's more demand coming online from the renewable diesel sector next year. And I think in general, that's going to drive those relative prices or those fundamental relationships higher than we have seen in years past. Something I touch on here at the end, and this is a longer term consideration, not necessarily 2021, but maybe 2022, 2023. We could start to see it as early as next year is desulfurization. I know that there's some tire kicking going on around there to process poultry fat, kind of take some of that sulfur out of it, so it's more of a minimal feedstock into biodiesel and renewable diesel production. If that happens, that's going to add another premium to that market where it's kind of flown under the radar because it hasn't been as desirable in the renewable fuels industry. It's benefited from kind of rising tide lifts all boats market, but we could see additional demand coming to that and drive prices even higher down the line if there are intermediary treatment players in the market. Kind of stepping back and talking about the market as a whole, it's been very unique with bleachable fancy tallow. Typically, we see prices fall off in September, October. We haven't seen that as much this year. It seems to be that demand is fairly well balanced at the moment. There is still risk for downward movement in that market in the next few weeks. But I think if we get into November, late November, and there hasn't been a price correction lower, those prices could, in fact, be a little bit higher than we're forecasting. And the reason for that is inventory security. I think that there's some real fear out there tied to the spike in COVID cases that that's going to affect production at the meat facilities again in the end of the fourth quarter as we start 2021. And so it's buyers seem to be erring on the side of caution, making sure they have their pipelines full and are ready to roll rather than run inventory down as they typically do towards the end of the year. Additionally, there's a tight soybean oil market in Brazil, and that's led to some increased demand for tallow from the renewable fuel sector in that market. So new people coming in, additional demand, tighter overall supply picture has really boosted that market. Touching on choice white grease too, it's been a few weeks since we've put a forecast out there for that, but something that's been developing is that market has moved lower over the last couple of weeks as pressure from additional supply in the market has pressured those values lower. The spread between this poultry fat market, feed fat out east and in the Midwest is getting to be wide enough where a floor should be settling into that choice white market. And we see more interest from these feeders in the poultry region reach into the Midwest to pull out yellow grease or choice white grease if they can. So I think we're going to start to see a floor settle into that choice white market. And more arbitrage opportunities pop up as poultry fat becomes more expensive in the East, and there's downward pressure on choice white grease in the Midwest. I think that that widespread is going to help put a floor into that choice white grease market sooner than later. With that, I'm happy to take any questions that may have popped up.
Okay. Ryan, I think the first question, I think this is good for the attendees that are new to this. Can you explain our methodology behind forecasting specifically with UCO and DCO?
They're all really the same. What we do is take a number of inputs, and as you may have seen checking the forecast out, SAGE, which is our artificial intelligence software. What we do is take a bunch of different inputs, plug it into that. There's some analyst guidance on that as well. So, you know, plus minus that forecast. And it's just looking at a variety of different inputs, historical trends, projections on slaughter, soybean oil, corn prices, et cetera, to come up with a forecast we have. And then we have typically a penny spread high and low on top of, or here you can see on those animal fat prices.
All right. If everybody has any other questions, drop them in the Q&A section. We got another question here, Ryan. With slaughter rates holding during a seasonal BFT low, what is supporting the market from moving down at all?
I think that export demand has been a big one. And I think really it's just, it might even be a psychological fear of missing out. So if somebody decides that they want to, you know, they're not a buyer at say 31 and a half or 32, they're going to hold out for 31. I think that there's a fear that they could miss out on having anything at all. And it's better to have maybe overpaid. And I don't even think it's overpaying, but it's better to overpay than to shut down your plant because you don't have raw material. I really think that's it. It's a psychological motivation just to make sure that you have your material. Err on the side of caution, make sure you have your material to keep those plants running rather than push for lower prices. And something I want to touch on too is we have Thanksgiving coming up, I think 4 weeks from Thursday. The Christmas break isn't far behind that. You got New Year's another week after that. So again, these next few weeks, I think, are where the downward pressure will start to build. If it doesn't happen then I think buyers are going to be cautious, go long through January, and we could see a steady market through the end of November into 2021, just based on people buying ahead, making sure they have their material through the holiday season, and in addition to any potential COVID interruptions at the processing facilities.
Ryan, do you see the outcome of the election affecting any of these prices in a variety of ways?
I think that both parties, I don't know about parties, but both administrations seem to be favorable towards renewable fuels, maybe for different reasons, but it seems that both parties are supportive of the renewable fuels market. So I don't see any big dramatic changes. If there's, you know, for example, a sell-off in the stock market tied to a change in administration, that could impact the market somewhat if the equities spill into the commodities. But I think historically, and somebody can fact check me on this and I could be wrong, but I think historically people look to commodities to be a safe haven, you know, real physical assets over equities when they're selling off. So you could see a boost there. But I don't anticipate anything big in the next few weeks tied to the election.
Okay. What's your outlook on used cooking oil over the next few years? Do you see it tightening further and further?
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to see supply continue. Well, I think people are going to look for new avenues to collect supply. As you know, we've seen explosive growth in China over the last few years of UCO availability. I think people are going to continue, or buyers are going to continue to, and sellers look for new opportunities to collect used cooking oil in developing countries. So there's opportunity for growth there, but obviously the demand is going to increase exponentially. And so I think it's going to be harder and harder to get. And there's going to be more and more of a premium as the competition for, you know, what's available heats up.
All right. I don't have any other new questions at the moment, Ryan, but if you could go over each week with the fats and oils forecast, you alternate what you're forecasting. Could you explain to the attendees the difference in each week and what you're forecasting?
Sure. So this week we did the poultry fat that usually we do once a quarter. And then on a weekly basis, it goes tallow. So next week we'll have a bleachable fancy tallow forecast updated with commentary, choice white grease, distiller's corn oil, and then yellow grease and used cooking oil.
Okay. Well, that's all the questions I have, Ryan. Thank you for taking the time. To the attendees, we'll be posting this up on the site so you can take a look at this video later under the forecasting area. And thank you all for attending, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, everyone.